Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us today for this special call with Tony Khan to discuss Ring of Honor Supercard of Honor, live this Friday from the Wacomico Civic Center in Salisbury, Maryland. Just some quick housekeeping in the interest of time and giving opportunities to as many people as possible. We ask that you kindly refrain from asking two-parted questions and please try to keep your questions focused on Supercard of Honor. I'm going to turn things over to Tony for some opening thoughts and then we'll open the lines for questions. Tony.
Hey, thank you very much, Danny. I'm really excited about Supercard of Honor. This is going to be a fantastic pay-per-view. It's been several years now with ROH, and we have a tremendous track record in the last few years with the Ring of Honor, putting on tremendous pay-per-view events. And I think that Supercard of Honor is going to be an awesome show. I'm excited for the Supercard showdown tonight on ROH also. Some major implications, including the World TV title at stake going into tomorrow's pay-per-view and more announcements coming out of this big event. It was really exciting to be able to shoot the Ring of Honor TV for tonight at the SoFi Center in conjunction with AEW Fairway to Hell, which was a tremendous event for us and also a great opportunity for Ring of Honor to wrestle in front of new fans. So it'll be an awesome event, and I want to answer your questions and get to those as quickly as possible. So please, Danny, let's start answering the questions.
Wonderful. Thank you, Tony. First up, we're going to have Brian Zillum with PW Torch, followed by Courtney Rice with Women's Wrestling Talk. Brian.
Hey, Tony, can you hear me okay?
I'm hearing you great.
Fantastic. Tony, I wanted to ask about Athena. Athena's title reign has reached historic levels of consistency along with match quality. She's become one of the names fans frequently mention when discussing talent they'd like to see more of on AEW television. How do you balance protecting ROH's identity while also recognizing when a performer has momentum that an audience may want to see more across the larger AEW platform?
Absolutely. Well, we have great world champions in Ring of Honor with Athena, the women's world champion, and Bandido, the Ring of Honor world champion. And both of them are involved in the Owen Hart Foundation tournament that is coming, which is very exciting. Now, they may both still be the Ring of Honor champion, or both of them could enter the Owen Hart tournament following Supercard of Honor and the upcoming Ring of Honor shows without their championships, but they both had great reigns. And in Athena's case, it's been a very long, dominant reign, and she's become so closely associated with the Ring of Honor brand. I think that when you have great champions, in this case, Athena and Bandido, they both represent Ring of Honor very well and are great stars for the company that have built tremendous history. In Bandido's case, it goes back many years before I had even acquired Ring of Honor. And in Athena's case, her Ring of Honor dominance is the stuff legends are made of. She's put on some of the greatest pay-per-view matches I've seen while dominating the Ring of Honor Women's World Championship for several years. And I think that it's tremendous to be able to bring in great stars from numerous promotions, including Ring of Honor, to compete in the Owen Hart Foundation tournament. Right now, Athena and Bandido are both world champions. That could change at the pay-per-view tomorrow, and it would be a monumental shift in the world of wrestling for either of them to lose their championships after such incredible reigns, particularly Athena in the many years she's put into Ring of Honor. So it's really something to watch for at Supercard of Honor tomorrow in that survival of the fittest match. And it's a great question because there are tremendous wrestlers in Ring of Honor, and it's different depending on the unique situation for different people on the roster. And in the case of Athena, she's someone who has been the dominant face of Ring of Honor and also has great opportunities to wrestle in AEW, to compete in Japan and wrestle for numerous promotions as she's a top international star. Thanks for asking.
Thanks, Tony. Courtney Rice with Women's Wrestling Talk is up next, followed by Samantha Shipman with Power Bombshells. Courtney.
Can you hear me clearly?
You may need to speak up just a bit.
Okay, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right, awesome. Thank you. Hi, Tony. First off, happy NFL schedule release day. Awesome, on a Thursday.
Yes.
And mostly my question is regarding the women's matches towards Ring of Honor, because I know you talked about Athena. I don't think people notice it, but within the last few years, a lot of the women's matches have main evented some of the pay-per-view cards for Ring of Honor, which is a really great opportunity to showcase what the ladies have done, the work that they put in. And as I mentioned, there are three women's matches. We have Survival of the Fittest. We also have Red Velvet defending her Ring of Honor women's television title, along with Deonna Purrazzo defending the pure women's championship as well. And seeing all these women main event on the pay-per-view card and getting extravagant reviews, could this be possibly a kind of like a card or like a media playbook that we could possibly see towards AEW's women's division, since it's now starting to get red hot, and possibly see some of them main event on pay-per-views in the future?
Well, it's a great reason to follow the Ring of Honor shows. I have really appreciated what you said, because I think that some of the best women's wrestling in the world in recent years has been in Ring of Honor. We have a great world champion, Athena, who's put on incredible pay-per-view matches against a variety of tremendous challengers and is now walking into a completely different circumstance altogether. Athena has faced great challengers, and now she's facing five tremendous challengers. We'll find out tonight on the Supercard Showdown who is going to take the place of Persephone. It's unfortunate, the injury to Persephone. Persephone has been doing such great work and wrestling at such a high level. She's someone I really like, and Persephone is someone who is already the world champion in CMLL. Also, I believe Persephone can do great things in Ring of Honor and AEW, and I had planned for Persephone to be involved in Supercard in the Survival of the Fittest, which she qualified for the match, but had to forfeit due to her injuries, and we're looking forward to having her back as well. She's a top woman star. She's also somebody I was hoping to would be there to compete at Double or Nothing, but the doctors ruled her out. So we've had a number of injuries across multiple companies with top women stars. And this is where I'm really excited, because there's so much great women's wrestling happen. You know, right now people are very excited about the Owen Hart Foundation bracket I put together with top stars, international women's champions, and top contenders competing for the Owen Hart Women's Tournament. And that's going to be an awesome event as well. I'm very excited to have Athena as a part of it. It'll be interesting to see, and it remains to be seen, if Athena will be the Ring of Honor World Champion at that point. But the Survival of the Fittest match will be a great test. I'm looking forward to tonight's show. We'll have an excellent six-woman tag match in trios action involving several of the competitors in the Survival of the Fittest match, which I'm looking forward to that match tonight as well. And also we'll have the qualifying match, which I'm looking forward to, high-end wrestling against Zeta Steel, and the winner will take Persephone's place in this match. So I appreciate you saying there's been so much great women's wrestling in Ring of Honor, and I think that is something that we put a great emphasis on, and I encourage everybody to come to this show and buy this pay-per-view, because you're going to get some tremendous wrestling, and a lot of the very best wrestling in Ring of Honor is the women's matches. We have great women's wrestling throughout the Ring of Honor TV and pay-per-views, and this pay-per-view tomorrow will be a great example for that. Thank you for asking.
Thanks, Tony. Up next, we have Samantha Shipman with Power Bombshells, followed by Dave Meltzer with The Wrestling Observer. Samantha.
Hi, Tony. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for asking.
Good. Kind of sticking with the theme here of Athena, because she's obviously quite popular. One of my questions I had, clearly she's made history through this title, throughout this title reign multiple times. I mean, she just surpassed 1,250 days. But now she's about to make history again, along with the other women who will be in the first ever Survival of the Fittest women's match. Can you talk about your decision to put Athena in this match in a situation where she could potentially lose her title without being pinned, and what kind of challenge that may bring for her? Being in this,
well, that's not the rule. That's not the rules of the Survival of the Fittest. Everybody gets pinned. It's an elimination style match, and I but she would have to get beat in order to lose the championship. That's one of the things that really makes this such a compelling match. And Survival of the Fittest is a great concept that Ring of Honor has had for many years, and throughout the great history of Ring of Honor, there has never been a women's Survival of the Fittest match, which I thought was really fascinating. And with all the top contenders that we have and the great champion Athena, I saw a tremendous opportunity. And again, Persephone is out of the match, but we'll have a qualifying match tonight. And we're going to put another great women's wrestler into this match. And there are a number of great competitors, some who Athena is already very familiar with. What a match Athena had with Maya World recently in particular. And certainly Athena and Billy Starks have a very interesting dynamic themselves. There's a lot to watch in this match. Again, we're sending best wishes to Persephone to get back soon. Athena is on fire, and the Survival of the Fittest match makes so much sense. We've had some tremendous Survival of the Fittest matches in Ring of Honor. And again, it is a concept where it's an elimination style match. So absolutely, somebody would have to beat Athena to take the championship from her, but there are a lot of ways that can happen. And it's not just a one-on-one circumstance. So it's very different from a lot of the classic Athena World Championship defenses that we've seen, which have typically been great one-on-one matches against a variety of tremendous opponents she's delivered on this big stage time after time. So I'm very much looking forward to that. Very excited for that match as well. The Survival of the Fittest should be tremendous on the supercard tomorrow. And again, I'm looking forward to tonight's TV for Zeta Steel versus Hyann to take that final spot in the match with Persephone being ruled out. Thank you for asking.
Thanks, Tony. Dave Meltzer with the Wrestling Observer is up next, followed by a write-in from Ella J, a wrestling gal. Dave.
Tony, how you doing?
Hey, great, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing really good. I was wondering, there's been some talk in the last week or so about the status of your relationship with Jazzwares and with the toy line. And I was wondering if you can kind of like maybe clarify what's going on. I guess there's been talk of a lot of layoffs and perhaps, you know, AEW and Jazzwares not working together longer. But, you know, because I've heard nothing confirming anything other than a lot of there's been a lot of talk in the last week.
That's a fair question, Dave. I do think, again, and primary focus being on wrestling and the wrestling television show and the live events. In this case, for the merchandising, the toys are a huge part of what we've done, and AEW has had a great relationship with Jazzwares for many years. I do think it's possible there could be a change, and it could potentially be a positive change for AEW and the fans. I don't believe I can comment on it at this time, but beyond what I've already said, but it's a good question to ask. And, I understand why you're asking it. And I do think, that, you know, there's probably something to what you're asking about. Thanks for bringing it up. Do you have any other questions? Since I didn't give a great answer for that one, given it's something that is in progress.
Okay. On the women's Owen Hart tournament, which, you know, you had the brackets last night.
Yes.
Now, you know, two of the people in the tournament, one's Persephone, who you already talked about, you know, as far as medical condition. And the other is Saray, who, you know, had just announced, I guess, that she has a neck injury. I mean, do you have any kind of updates on those two spots in the tournament right now?
Yeah, right now the plan is still for both of them to compete. and to compete where they'll have their matches a little bit further into the tournament, maybe a few weeks from now. And I still think that works well with the schedule. You want to have the very best wrestlers, and we have a great opportunity to feature some of the top stars. I think if the schedule holds as planned and both of them heal up, the idea would be that they both compete in June, and whoever makes it to the finals will be at Forbidden Door at the end of June in your hometown, San Jose. So I think it'll be an excellent tournament. I'm very excited about the participants. That's a great question. And I'm glad that I get to address it, because right now the goal is for Persephone and Saray to both be back in action in June and to have their tournament matches and still have all the matches hit the schedule where the finals will take place at Forbidden Door. Thank you for asking.
Thank you, Tony. I have a write-in here from Ella J with A Wrestling Gal, which will be followed by Amy Nemedy with WrestleJoy. Excuse me. Tony, Ella writes, on Supercard Showdown tonight, there's a six-woman tag featuring Lacey Lane. We have seen Lacey have showcase matches with current ROH champions, as well as team up with Action Andretti and Leo Rush. What do you see for the future of Lacey Lane and ROH?
Well, Lacey Lane's been excellent. She's been involved in some tremendous matches, in whether it's in some tag team action or, you know, in particular, I really enjoyed Lacey Lane in singles matches, and I think she's a tremendous wrestler. There's so many great women competing on this show. Lacey Lane is an excellent competitor and has brought a lot to ROH. So we really like having her. I think there are so many great women wrestling in ROH right now. So anytime we can add another really talented woman to the roster, I love that.
Thanks, Tony. Amy Nemedy with WrestleJoy is up next, followed by Dominic D'Angelo with Studio1Sports.com. Amy.
Hi, Tony. How are you doing?
I'm very well. Thanks for asking.
So I had a lot of questions about Athena, but I'm going to pivot instead to ask you about the women's champions of Ring of Honor overall. So we have three women's champions heading into Supercard of Honor. Athena, of course, over 1,250 days into the most historic reign in ROH history. Deonna, who has defined the women's pure championship with technical prowess, and Red Velvet, whose second reign seems to be defined by her growth, a sense of leadership, and opening the door for the next generation of women. Can you talk about what each of these women mean to Ring of Honor and how their championships define the women's division of today?
Yes. Well, I appreciate you asking. I'm looking forward very much to all three women's championship matches on the Ring of Honor Supercard pay-per-view tomorrow. It'll be an excellent event, and those women's championship matches stand out. Deonna Purrazzo has been excellent on Ring of Honor TV as the pure champion. Since she won the championship, she's had a number of exciting matches, and I'm looking forward to her title fight versus Diamante, which is a grudge match, and it'll be conducted under the rules of pure wrestling, which I think is excellent. And we've seen a very intense rivalry develop between Diamante and Deonna Purrazzo in recent weeks on the Ring of Honor TV. I think that this is a grudge match that the fans of Ring of Honor want to see, and I think it'll be an excellent pure championship match when Diamante locks up against the champion Deonna Purrazzo. And it's been a great rivalry between the two of them, and the utilization of that armbar and the intense dislike for each other that has emerged in recent weeks, I think it's been excellent, excellent TV, and I'm looking forward to Diamante versus Deonna Purrazzo for the Ring of Honor Women's Pure Championship very much tomorrow. Also, with Red Velvet, she's been tremendous as the TV champion. She missed some time due to injury, and we're very happy to have her back. She's been a tremendous star for us competing here in the U.S. and also traveling as an international traveling champion. And she's had great matches in CMLL. And we had Red Velvet teaming with Viva Van in CMLL. And I thought that was very interesting. They have a great bond as partners, but Viva Van's a very interesting wrestler. And I think Red Velvet versus Viva Van is a compelling TV championship match. And I'm looking forward to that. And seeing that fight, I think Red Velvet's been putting on great matches. Viva picked up a big win on TV recently and earned herself a title fight. So I'm looking forward to that match. And of course, Athena is so closely associated as the dominant world champion with Ring of Honor, but she faces a kind of test that she has never faced and no woman in Ring of Honor has ever faced before with a survival of the fittest match. I love these matches. They're very intense, and they are so hard-hitting and fast-paced and fun. And I think it's a great test for Athena, but it's also the kind of match that would be a fitting place for the most incredible world championship reign to end. And I'm really looking forward to this pay-per-view. I think it'll be an excellent show and should be a tremendous survival of the fittest match. So I think Athena and Red Velvet and Deonna Purrazzo have all been great champions for Ring of Honor. And I think the challengers that are stepping up to them are all tremendous challengers. Now, for the survival of the fittest, there is still one spot that remains with Persephone out, of course. We'll find out tonight whether it's Hyann or Zeta Steel on the Ring of Honor TV tonight. But I think all the challengers that are signed up are great challengers, and we have great champions, and this should be an awesome pay-per-view tomorrow. Thank you for asking.
Thanks, Tony. We have time for just a few more questions here. So up next, we have Dominic D'Angelo with Studio1Sports.com, followed by John Pollock with Post Wrestling. Dominic?
Tony, hey, can you hear me all right, man?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, hey, real quick, I just wanted to commend you. I know you probably don't want to talk too much about that, but I'd want to commend you for what you've done for Rebel and everything like that. You know, I thought it was very heartwarming what Tony Schiavone had to say on a couple weeks ago on AEW Dynamite. So I prayers for Rebel and everything to that effect too. I do my question for you regarding Supercard here. I want to talk ask you about Lio Rush. He's gone through quite the character change recently, and I wanted to ask you when somebody necessarily pitches that to you, and how did that process kind of come to be for Lio Rush to do that, and what did you think about that initially?
What a great question. Well, first of all, you'll see Lio Rush tonight, because Lio Rush is at the Ring of Honor TV tonight and keeping a close eye in particular on the Nick Wayne versus AR Fox World TV Championship match. So I'm excited for that match, and I'll be watching closely. I think Lio will be watching closely as well. And with Lio Rush, I don't typically talk to every wrestler every day about their haircut. And when Lio was traveling, he had cut his hair, and it was a different look. And when I talked to him about it, we had a really nice conversation, and he had some very different ideas than the things we had been doing before, but they were really interesting ideas. And I have a lot of faith in Lio. I think he's a great wrestler, and that's why I've featured him and asked to have Lio in AEW and ROH numerous times throughout the years. The ideas he brought back when he returned from his travel were very different than the things we did before, but I thought they were interesting and I wanted to try them. And I think that they are interesting. And he's got a very nuanced personality. There's multiple sides to Lio, as you can see. There's a lot to him. And I think it comes across in his wrestling, and he's clearly captivated people when he's tapped into his darker side. So I'm interested in it. And that's what I told him when he asked me about having a different presentation when he wrestled. I think Leo's a great wrestler, and I still believe he has a bright future. He's a very young man with a lot of talent. Thank you for asking.
Thank you, Tony. John Pollock with Post Wrestling is up next, followed by a write-in from Bill Bodkin with the Pop Break. John?
Hey, Tony. In the past, you've shared the fact that when it comes to HBO Max viewership, that is something that the data you are not privy to. When there has been such a wide variance over this last year with Nielsen data, I'm just curious at present what you are leaning on as the most reliable metrics in terms of both Ring of Honor and AEW's performances. And with the addition of My AEW, are you getting any deeper data since the launch of My AEW?
Well, I think that Nielsen does a great job, and I have a ton of respect for them. So since you asked me about them, I think that they are still the top in the industry and provide the best insights and information. I typically look at their data frequently throughout the week about AEW Dynamite and AEW Collision for the United States. For My AEW, it is an international product for outside of the US, and it is giving us fascinating data, and it's been a very successful international launch, but it's very different strategy from what we do in the United States. And the engine that really does power AEW and the lifeblood of the company is our tremendous relationship with Warner Brothers Discovery, which dates back to the very first episode of AEW Dynamite in our first year, going back to 2019. And it has afforded us the opportunity for Wednesday Night Dynamite to become the longest running primetime pro wrestling show in the history of TBS. And to launch Saturday Night Collision on TNT, putting on innovative and excellent wrestling shows like the one we had last week, which I was one of my favorites, with AEW Fairway to Hell at the SoFi Center. And I think that Nielsen does a tremendous job, and it's interesting times as they developed the methodology, but I do have a lot of confidence in them. So since you asked me about them, that would be what I think. Thank you for asking.
Thank you, Tony. We've got time for just a couple more here. So I have a write-in from Bill Bodkin with the Pop Break, followed by our last question from Sully Khan with Slam Wrestling. Tony, Bill writes, can you talk about the positive impact that taping ROH regularly at WJCT Studios has had on the weekly programming as a whole?
Yes, I really love doing the tapings in Jacksonville, having the crew together and having the dedicated fans in Jacksonville. I love that the studio is right across the street from Daly's place. I love being able to put my full attention and focus into these shows. It's a studio that is right across the street from my own office. And it's very convenient for so many of the wrestlers in Ring of Honor, because a lot of our competitors live in Florida or nearby, where Jacksonville is a very convenient place to come wrestle. And the wrestlers love competing in Jacksonville, particularly in this area. There's a lot of nostalgia around Daly's place. And now this studio has become a great home for Ring of Honor. We've had great support from the community. There's awesome wrestling fans around Jacksonville that have supported AEW and now Ring of Honor for many years. So I love bringing the shows to my hometown fans who support AEW and the Jaguars and ROH here in Jacksonville. And we love having these events, but I also think it's been really good for the quality of the TV shows, which I think have been tremendous. There's been so many great matches and great rivalries that have developed now we're going to see on Supercard and also tonight, which is a great episode of the TV. I think if you were thinking about ordering on watchroh.com and buying the streaming service, I think tonight would be a good time to catch up to watch the TV show, because it's an excellent episode going into the pay-per-view. And I appreciate you asking. Thank you.
Thanks, Tony. Our final question today comes from Sully Khan with Slam Wrestling. Sully. Sully, I think you have to unmute your line.
Yeah, it took a second for the pop-up to show up. Thanks.
All good.
Hey, Tony. Hope you're doing well today. I just wanted to ask about Blake Christian and his momentum over the past few months. He's been putting on shows. He's taken on Will Ospreay. He's shown up. He's met the moment. What have you seen in his growth over the last few months?
Oh, well, I think that Blake Christian has been excellent on Ring of Honor and when he's been featured in AEW. And I'm a huge fan of the Vanilla Baby, the Swirl, and when they join together with Jay Lethal, I think they're a tremendous combination. And in particular, Blake Christian is a standout young wrestler that I have a tremendous amount of confidence in. And with his stellar win-loss record and the quality of wrestling that he's put together and featured on Ring of Honor TV throughout the recent months and the rivalry he's built with Bandido, I think that's going to be just an incredible match. And I'm really looking forward to Blake Christian versus Bandido. I think they'll have a great match at the Supercard and should be a world title fight that is befitting the incredible legacy of the Ring of Honor World Championship and all the great champions that have held the title, including this champion, Bandido. And absolutely, I think that Blake Christian has the talent and has what it takes to be a great world champion for ROH. So I think that's an awesome title fight that I've been looking forward to for a really long time at Supercard, Blake Christian versus Bandido.
Thank you, Tony. We're nearing the end of our time. Any closing thoughts as we approach Supercard of Honor tomorrow night?
Well, it's going to be an awesome event, and there's a lot to look forward to, and there's still twists and turns. I mentioned that we'll find out tonight who the final competitor is in the Survival of the Fittest World title match. We have a huge World TV title fight tonight. I think AR Fox versus the champion Nick Wayne is going to be a great match. I'm very excited for that. And we'll have more announcements about the pay-per-view tonight, of course, coming out of those big matches. This is a loaded episode of the TV tonight, and then it's going to be an amazing pay-per-view show tomorrow. So it's a big 48 hours for ROH, and then we're going to stick around and we'll be staying in Salisbury, Maryland for AEW Collision. So get ready for a big few days of wrestling. It starts tonight, continues Friday, and then we'll stick around and have a great live Collision on Saturday. It's Briscoe country and Mark Briscoe's back. So I'm looking forward to that. I think that's very exciting as well. And I can't wait. Thank you all for joining us today. I really appreciate you being here. I have been on a lot of these calls over the years and done a lot of pay-per-view scrums and press calls. And a number of you have been on these calls and asking questions, often very great questions. And I really enjoy interacting with you, and I appreciate you all coming in and covering wrestling and talking with us about ROH Supercard today. So thank you for being here. If I didn't get to your question, I appreciate you coming. I try to answer as many as I can. I'll also answer questions after the pay-per-view. And then we have a big Double or Nothing for AEW coming up very soon as well. So hope to visit with you soon and answer your questions. Thank you for covering AEW and ROH, and see you tomorrow for ROH Supercard of Honor. Thank you.
Thanks, Tony, and thanks everyone for joining us today. We're now at the end of our time. We'll be distributing an audio recording to all attendees shortly. We thank you again for being a part of today's call, and we're looking forward to you joining us for Ring of Honor Supercard of Honor this Friday from Salisbury, Maryland. Have a great day.